I'll tell you what an old deacon friend would have said about that singing. He'd said the only thing that would have been better had been more of it. And certainly, boy, don't you love the way God just makes Himself real and to feel His presence in this hour. It's something that can't be replicated by the hands of man. But boy, God's children knows when the Lord walks in the midst of the church. And I'm glad to tell you that He walks in the midst of Silver City. He said, I am He that walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I'm so glad that there's a people that love the Lord, that welcome His presence, that welcome the Lord. He's not standing on the outside of the door knocking, but we through our actions and our worship say, Lord, come in and inhabit and inhabit the praises of Your people. This morning we woke up about 4 o'clock and God woke us up with a thought, a word that, I'll be honest with you, is kind of out of my vocabulary range, but hey, woke up with it, so I'm sure it come from the Lord, but it is the word skepticism or skeptical. And I looked it up, and to have skepticism is to not believe something that you've been told or not believe that it's real. We live in a time where everyone is skeptical of each other. There are those, there are principalities and powers of the air that mean to divide and mean to conquer us as a body of Christ. And I see something going on. I see a coming together of the bones that maybe Ezekiel saw in his day. I see the body of Christ coming together. I see in the black and Hispanic communities of our country are turning back to God. And there's a reality that the enemy knows that the only hope he has to keep his power is to keep us divided against each other. But I believe that God's love is greater still. And when the Scripture said in Corinthians that the love of God will never fail, I believe God is doing a new thing, which is just the old thing that He's always done. He is reviving His church for maybe the last great call of the gospel, because Jesus is coming again. And oh, aren't you glad to be a part of that? I count myself blessed to be a part of the church of the living God. I count myself blessed to be counted among the saved. There's so many people that are skeptical. Skepticism creeps into our lives and we find it hard to trust one another. If the enemy can plant a doubt in my mind towards you and you toward me, there is that division. And so many people, even in the church of the living God, we're skeptical not of the Lord, but we're skeptical of each other. And there's the root of that. See, I was raised in the perfect home, so to speak. My mom and dad, they loved each other. And not only did they love each other, but they showed that in front of us as children. That was my life experience. I saw love every day. I saw love between a mom and a dad. I grew up in a little old community that in that community, the little old church was the center of the community. Little old Goshen Baptist Church in the hills of nowhere, in the hills of North Georgia. And woke up and some good thoughts began to stir in my mind. I remembered how on Saturdays, every other Saturday, we would meet together, the men of the church, and I was just a boy, and we would get together and cut the grass, and we would wash the church if it needed, but we gathered together, and that cohesiveness, that unit, that feeling of community and togetherness, we shared it, and some of my best friends were the older men of the church, the old deacons that love the Lord. You never heard them say much, but boy, when they said something, it was like E.F. Hutton. You had to turn on your ears and listen. And oh, I think back to those days, and the reason that there's not a lot of skepticism in my heart is because I was raised in an environment that made it easy to believe. When the church said they loved you, they backed it up. They cried out. They prayed. They wrapped their arms around you. And it was hard to be a skeptic of something that you experience every Sunday. And in the home, it was hard to be a skeptic of something you watch play out in your mom and dad's relationship. But then that's not everybody's life. That's not everybody's experience. Even back in the 80s, the divorce rate in the church was around 50%. There were so many, and let me say this, if you've been divorced and remarried this morning, I want to say this, hey, God has forgiven you if you sought His forgiveness, and I want you to know, listen, there was one place where Peter, the sheep was let down and God told him to take and eat, and Peter said, not so, Lord, it's unclean, and God said, don't you call what I've cleansed unclean, and some of you, God's given you a second chance, and it's clean in the eyes of God through the blood of Christ and His forgiveness. And don't you for one second feel any condemnation from this message. But what I'm saying is this. So many young people have been raised in homes and they've seen the trouble and the turmoil, and it makes them skeptical of the love of God. That's not their experience. They come to the house of God. And let me say this, and I know that I've served many. Every church has its trouble. Every church goes through times of difficulty. But let me warn you, my deacons and my brothers and sisters, know this, that during those times, it can make our children skeptical when they see us turn on one another and see us talk to one another without respect and without love. And if we're not careful, we can create skepticism in the body of Christ. Have you ever heard it said like this? Well, if that's love, then they don't know what love is. You know what they say about the preacher? Wow, the woods are full of old jackleg preachers. I don't know what that means. I think it's a derogatory comment. Somebody after the service, if you can explain that to me, please, with kindness, pull me aside and tell me. Because I don't know what it is, but I don't want to be one. I do know that. I think it means men that stand behind the pulpit and preach the love of God, but when they're out in the world, they treat you like a dog. Their gospel and their message doesn't line up with the way they live their life. Listen, woe unto me if the only gospel people ever hear and see is from when I'm behind the pulpit. They ought to see it in the way I live. There ought to be a love in my life and a love in my heart toward people. I won't, whenever I die, I don't care if I die rich. I don't care if I die with a great name and great esteem, but oh, I want to die an old sweet man that loved people. Skeptics. And the lost and dying world out there, they're caught up in the skepticism. They've not understood or felt what we feel. They've never accepted the love of God in Christ. They've never felt what it's like to go from being a sinner unto a saved, blood-washed, born-again, spirit-filled child of the living God. And sure, they're skeptical. Then you've got the principalities of the air and of the darkness, and all they sow are seeds of skepticism. And they know as long as they can keep America divided and as long as they can keep the church separated. I say it again. I'm going to tell you, God is doing something that I'm new to. I'm seeing in the black communities around us and in the Hispanic communities, the hand of God is moving. And we, listen, I know we're predominantly white. We ought to reach out to our brothers and sisters and say, I don't care what the color of your skin is, if your blood was and blood bone, we're brothers and sisters. Let's worship together. So that's a cure for all that's going on. Oh, I won't be quick, Lord. Here I am, beating around the bush. Listen, there was a man, turn with me to the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to talk to you about one of the greatest skeptics we see in the Bible. And the Bible calls him Thomas. Anybody ever heard of Thomas? What is the one adjective that you would use to describe Thomas. Anybody? Many of us call him Doubting Thomas. Maybe we'd give Thomas a bad rap. See, we don't know where Thomas come from. We don't know what went on. We do know he's called Didymus, which means he has a twin. And I've been around them Phillips twins. I tell you what, that'd make anybody mean. You're welcome to tell Allie that, Alexis, if you want to, honey. That's a little payback for a minute to go there, sis. But Thomas is one of the most difficult people that we read about in the Bible. He is full of skepticism. And I thought about, what if Thomas, what if his story was like this? What if Thomas grew up in a home where he was taught to be skeptical, where skepticism and unbelief were a part of everyday life? What if it was fed to him from the day he was born unto the day that he met Christ, and his heart was full of unbelief? But even Jesus had a remedy for the skepticism of this man we call Doubting Thomas. I want you to know, if you're having trouble believing in the living God, if you're having trouble believing in this man we call Christ, if you're having trouble believing in the work of Mother Church, hang on a little while. God's got a message for you this morning. Here he is. The Bible said in verse 24 of the 20th chapter, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So Jesus has arisen from the dead, and Thomas was not amongst those that saw him. And the other disciples in verse 25 said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." Listen to the skeptical man. Listen to Doubting Thomas. He said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe." This man has said he's ill. This man has said, "Until I can experience it for myself, I will not believe." But I've got good news for you. There's grace for people like Thomas. There's grace for skeptics. There's something called the power of the living God. And you can doubt it all you want, but when the conviction of God comes across your heart, you'll know there's something greater than what man can do. It's when God reaches down and touches your heart. He said, "I will not believe until I can touch the nail prints in his hands and I can thrust my hand into his side." 8 days later, verse 26, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within." So they've shut themselves into a room. The doors are shut. And Thomas is with them. Listen. And all of a sudden, the doors are shut now. Think about that. Jesus didn't knock on the door. Nobody went to the door and let him in. They're there in that room, and all of a sudden the Lord just appears and says, "Peace be unto you." Boy, don't you love it when the Lord just shows up? Oh, I'm glad this morning. Oh, if you're down this morning, my prayer for you is that Jesus would just show up. When the Lord shows up, things get real. The Lord shows up and says, "Peace be unto you." I want you to know, the Lord didn't just come for those others that were there. He was specifically on a mission for this man we call Doubting Thomas. And if you're here this morning and you're doubting God, this message has a mission. It has a place of landing. It's your heart to convince you this morning that God is real. He said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." "Thomas, I am persuaded." Better put them in my pocket. He reached out. Can you see the Lord just reach his arms out to Thomas? Has anybody had the Lord reach his arms out to you? Don't be unbelieving. Thomas, reach out and handle me. Touch me. Thomas reaches out and touches his hand. Tears begin to flow down his face. He said, no, Thomas, reach your hand into my side. Don't you know, Vicki, when he reached his hand into his side, he could feel the heartbeat of the Lord. Isn't it awesome when Jesus allows us to get close enough to feel his heartbeat? I can be as doubting as anybody, or I can be such a skeptic, but when the Lord passes by and says, son, feel my presence. And I've never physically reached my hands and touched the nail prints. And I've never reached my hand into his side. But oh, one day as a 12-year-old boy, he reached down to me. And he touched my little old heart. And he gloriously saved my soul. We're so out and out to condemn a lost and dying world. Do you know what the will of God is? Come and see. There's grace for their unbelief. There's where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. There's grace for a lost and a dying world. And you know what? People may walk into the doors of Silver City Church with skepticism in their heart. And my prayer for us is a church is that the love and the power of God is so pervasive and prevalent when they walk in the door, they say, there's something different here. And now, this great skeptic, this man we call Doubting Thomas, when we get to heaven, they're not going to introduce him as Doubting Thomas. They're going to introduce him as Believing Thomas, because he said, my Lord and my God. Skepticism is such a disease. It creeps into our hearts and causes us to doubt even the very Word of God. This morning in Sunday school we study about the coming of the Lord. And there are skeptics and scoffers that say, well, where is His coming? You've been saying that He was coming since your daddy's died. You've been saying this for thousands of years. But yet the Scripture says, He who shall come will come, and He will not tarry. God is not slack concerning His promises. So my prayer for my life and for Silver City Church and for a lost and dying world is that we would trade in our skepticism for faith and belief and trust the Lord. I asked the Lord last night or early this morning, because I've seen this so often, serving churches, trying to for the Lord. And the little church gets to a place to where she's getting ready to just really break out. She's getting ready to really take a huge step forward. And it's like God opens the door and you step to the door, but then there's this tentativeness and there's this pullback. And God and Christ to say, come, come, you're almost there, come, you're right there, you're at the threshold of the door. And we've got skepticism, you know why? Because we've been there before. And I've heard this so often in the church. I've heard deacons say, in years gone by, whoa, when everything's going good, you better watch out for Satan. He's right around. Let me say this. I understand all that, but I'm going to tell you, if we're where we ought to be and love the way we ought to love, He can't touch us. And it's not Satan that destroys the church. It's when the church turns on itself. Boy, when you fall good and in love with one another. So I laid in the bed last night. And I said, Lord, help me somehow communicate to these people that you've called me to serve. And these people that you've called me to love. Somehow help me communicate how much I love them. God, somehow open me up. And let them know, God, how much I care for them. And you know what the Lord said? Son, I've already done that on Calvary. It's already been taken care of. I'm telling you, when God gets in the matter, it causes you to love each other. I tell you what, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. There's something, don't worry honey, I don't think I've got nothing. Hey, there's something that God does in us and a love. Oh, I tell you, I don't have to come here. I want to come here. Oh, you are my joy. You're my crown. You're what I think about. Oh, when I'm laying in the bed and my heart is broken and your face is run before me. There's a feeling that comes from my heart. Oh, I know that feeling. It's the love of God. I pulled my glasses out, didn't I? Lord, have mercy. Oh, thank you, son. I will not die a skeptic. I may die a obsessive compulsive. I will not die a skeptic. And what God, that was gross, I apologize. I left my handkerchief up there. We'll talk about that later, won't we? I would take nothing for being where I'm at in this appointed time. We have been called to a great work, the greatest of works, to win a lost and dying world to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no greater place I would rather be than walking arm in arm with the Lord and walking arm in arm with you, my brothers and my sisters. There's no place for skepticism in the house of God. So, brothers and sisters, let's not worry about what might happen and what could happen. And let's pay attention to what is happening. Because God has took this old dead heart again and made it alive. And I'm so excited to know what the Lord's going to do with us in the next few months. Not just us. Our sister church is down the road. Hey, I tell you, we're just one family in Christ. Stand to your feet this morning. Listen. I worry about this, our young folks, because I've been there, it's been a long time, but we go and we send you off to get an education and you go to college, and that's well and good. I'm not against education. Went there myself, got a little bit, very little, you can say. But when all that's sown into your life is skepticism, when you turn on the television set and all that's sown into your life is skepticism. Being a skeptic. Oh, all the negativity that's shoved down our throat by the principalities and the power of the air. And they tell us that it didn't happen. And they tell us He didn't arise. And they tell us His sin won't cleanse. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I get in the house of God and feel the good Spirit of God, everything within me knows God is truth. My skepticism leaves, and all this old cold heart warms up and is able to love again. So I'll say it like this, and if you need to pray, you come pray. But I want to tell you, each and everybody, I want you to look. I want you to make eye contact with me for just a minute. I'm trying to look at everybody, make eye contact with everybody. I want you to know I love you this morning. I love you with all my heart, and I'm not a skeptic of Silver City Church. I am a supporter, and I believe in what God is doing in this people. And not just Silver City, brother. Down the road. This morning, maybe you've been like Thomas, and maybe there's a lot of doubts that have crept into your life. Won't you come to the Lord? I tell you, there's grace for your doubt. There's grace for your trouble. The Lord says, just come and try me and see. So if you've been doubting, come and pray and talk to the one who said to Thomas, touch me and feel me. I'll assure you, He'll let you feel something this morning. Go ahead, what you got? You say, Brother Russell, every time I've tried to trust somebody, they've hurt me and they've let me down. I'm going to tell you this. Trust in one who will do anything but let you down. His name is Jesus. When you get to where you can trust in Him, then you'll learn how to trust in His people. You'll learn how to trust in your brothers and your sisters. You'll know from experience and the battles that you fought and the experiences that you've had that you can trust one another. And I'm so afraid that there are people within the sound of my voice, you've become so skeptical because your experience has been negative. Let me say this about people, myself included. People will fail you. People will pat you on the back and then they'll turn on you sometimes. But every now and again, God starts working in the hearts of a group of people. And He changes them to the point that when you're hurting, they feel your hurt. And when you're troubled, they feel your trouble. Now, I don't know about you, brother, but that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. So lay down your skepticism this morning. Trust in the Lord. Trust in what He's doing in your life and in the lives of those around you. My sister soldiers and my brother soldiers, let's gather together. There's a cause greater than us. And let's go out and fight the good fight together. Because together in the love of God, nothing can stop us. All right. Hey, I love you this morning. Oh,